Well, I can almost give you a multiple choice tonight. You can turn in your Bibles to any one of four texts to get our text. You could turn to Habakkuk 2:4. You could turn to Romans 1:17, which I have turned to. You could turn to Galatians 3:11, or you could turn to Hebrews 10:38. All of those scriptures have the same six words in them that we're going to look at tonight. I am looking at Romans chapter 1, and we'll read from verses 16 and 17. And if you chose one of those other ones, just be patient and you'll find those six words. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Father, we thank you tonight that you have given your word, and we pray tonight as we examine it, just for the few minutes we have, that you would bless your word, that we would see that which you have for us tonight, and that we would not see anything else but what you would speak to our hearts. We submit this time to you. We ask for your guidance and direction. In Jesus' name, amen. The just shall live by faith. This was the famous text that Martin Luther, in reading, came to know Christ with. All of the church doctrine that he had known as a priest, and he read these simple words, "The just shall live by faith." And so we want to examine that a little bit tonight. Sometimes it's difficult when you talk to other people who claim to be Christians. And we have experienced many folks like this. They seem to start out all right. They seem to get to the place of faith to be saved, but then they act like that's the end, that they don't have to exercise faith anymore. I've got my ticket to heaven, and now I'm on my own. And that just isn't true. And so when things happen, trials come, they're not prepared. They don't exercise that faith. So let's look at this scripture tonight. I want to divide it into three twos. Two words, and two words. And the first two words are the just. That word just is used 81 times in the New Testament alone. Who are the just? Well, they are the justified ones, those who are equitable, innocent, holy, declared righteous. They are the just by faith. We see that in Romans 3:28. We're right there if you were in Romans chapter 1. Verse 28 says this, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." A few pages over in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians 2:16, a long passage that talks about faith versus works. We are not justified by the works of the law. And Galatians 3:24, again, a conclusion, we are justified by faith. So the justified ones, the ones who are made just by faith. And we discussed that word maybe a year ago. I can't remember last time we went through Sunday school with that. What are some synonyms for faith? It's the same Greek word, faith and... Come on now, you need to speak tonight. You need to respond here. Faith and... belief is another one. Faith, belief, and... one more. It starts with a T. Trust. Those are all the same Greek word. So our trust in Jesus Christ is how we become justified. We begin by faith. Now there was a discussion of that in John chapter 3. You remember Jesus was talking to one of the educated men, one of the men of position. And he said this in verse 3, John 3:3, talking to Nicodemus, He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, I don't know if you've ever taken time to read a birth certificate, your own hopefully, or maybe one of your children's, but it generally runs something like this. On such and such a day, on such and such a time, a live birth was recorded. You were born alive. You were born alive physically. However, you had a serious birth defect. All of us have that serious birth defect. It's called sin. We were born dead in trespasses and sins. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 1, you'll notice the third, fourth, and fifth words of that passage are italicized, which means they were added. Let's read that verse without the italicized words. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins. We start out life dead spiritually. We may be living physically, growing, learning to speak, doing all these marvelous things that young people do, but we are born dead spiritually. We do not have that opportunity to interact with God. And so we live with a sin nature. By the way, parents, most of us have had our children and are they're raised, but there are some here with younger children. Please take the time to sit down with them and talk with them. And like Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11 tell us that when we're sitting down, when we rise up, when we're walking by the way, use those opportunities to instruct your children, because if you don't, if you just kind of ignore them and let them grow up, you know, feed them when they come to the table and that, they're going to grow up with sin nature. They're not going to know. They do not naturally know what to do right. They have a propensity to do wrong, to do evil. I know psychologists say, well, children are born good and then they get bad. No, they're not. They're born bad and you've got to help them be good. So we start out with a sin nature and we must be born again. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Look at verse 12 of chapter 2 in Ephesians. This kind of describes the person without Christ, without being justified. That in that time, well, let's back up to 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Wow, that's a mouthful. We were without hope. We were in big trouble. And then God began to work in our hearts, and he began to reveal unto us our sin as he saw it. Not as we saw it. And you can think back to the time when you trusted Christ, when you first realized, wow, I have no hope. I am undone. I am lost. I have some problems sometimes with folks who say they've gotten saved and they've never dealt with their sin. They never mention it. Oh, I went to church and I went forward and I said some words, and I'm not saying someone couldn't be saved that way. But sometimes we don't understand that we must deal with our sin. We must realize that we are all of these things without hope, outside the covenants, without God. And unless we exercise faith and put our trust in Christ, we are hopeless. We say the same thing about our sin as God does. That's called confession. And we depend upon his provision, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and he saves us. That's in contrast to saying some magic word or doing something, going forward in church, which may or may not mean anything. All right, so the just, who are they? They are those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, and God has justified them. He has made them, he has declared them righteous. So these are the people who live by faith, the just. Now let's take the next two words, shall live. The just shall live forever in a timeless state of glory with the Lord who justified them. Contrast that to the unjust. The unjust or ungodly are not so. We read that in Psalm 1:5. They shall live in an eternal state of darkness, in the lake of fire, being tormented by timeless dying in flames, brimstone, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, haunted by the gospel they rejected. The just shall live. Do you understand that you have true life as a justified person? I often think as I work and deal with unsaved people, how do they live? How do they make it? They don't have the Holy Spirit to guide and direct them. And you can tell some of the things they get involved with. They don't have hope. They're hopeless. How can you live like that? They have no comfort. What a terrible life. The just shall live. We have life. We have life abundantly. Not only shall the just live, but all others will die eternally, the second death, separated from all that is good, all that is beautiful, all that is kind, all that is loving, from the Lord himself. I don't know about you, but do you sometimes take for granted what you have? Do you take for granted all that the Lord brings you and that you have in Christ? The scripture is full of his promises. The just shall live. The unjust shall not. Man tries desperately to find happiness and meaning to fill his life, but only the just really live. The only meaning that comes from life is being a justified person and serving Christ as Savior. Don't take for granted what you have. If you are justified, you shall live. And then the last two words. The just shall live by faith. Now, we started out by faith to become justified. But sometimes we forget that when we are, how did John 3 say, born again? Think about that. Born. You've all seen a little baby come into this life, a little helpless baby that needs constant care. When you are born again, that is you. Maybe you're not that little baby, maybe you're a big one, but you are beginning a new life. And you must be nourished by the Word of God. You must learn from the Scriptures. You must continue in faith. So many times it gets me. I mean, even my own family sometimes, I have to be careful, they're here. But sometimes a situation arises and the first thing you hear is, why would God do that? Is that faith? Folks, we either trust him or we don't. And I don't know, maybe I'm just childlike enough. A lot of people could tell you that. I just trust him. Oh, the world's caving in. That's all right, the Lord's got it. I don't need to worry about it. It's in his hands. You know, I can actually remember going through school as a young child, and they used to scare us to death. The sun was going to get big and red, and science class was going to explode, and we're all going to die. Why would you tell children that? This was a teacher that taught that. I remember going home telling my mom, you know, the sun's going to get big and red and explode, and we're all going to die. And being an unsaved person, that's pretty scary. But living by faith, I know what the scripture says. By the way, the sun is going to get big and red. I don't know if it's going to explode, but it talks about that in Revelation. We're not going to be here. But those poor folks that are unjust and living on the earth are going to be here. And they will be more than scared. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You understand this is the great faith chapter. The just shall live by faith. Let's look at faith for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever meditated on that verse? That's hard to wrap your mind around that. Faith is the substance, something I can get a hold of things unseen. Or things hoped for. It's the substance of things I'm hoping for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is evidence. Your faith is evidence of things to come, things that aren't seen yet. It's really a trust in what God says is going to happen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, through faith we have understanding. This is one of those blessings of being in faith. We have understanding. We have an anchor to our soul. We understand how things are and how they work and what's going to happen. The unsaved are not so. They do not have that understanding. And that's today more than any other day. You can just see people have no anchor. They're just going here and there, and they're doing this and this and everything. You're going, what in the world are they thinking? They have not faith. They don't have an anchor to their soul. They have no understanding of what life is all about. Is it any wonder? As soon as you remove yourself from faith, if you're not a part of faith, you're subject to anything that comes along the pike. I mean, I just cannot believe what people do today. I had a young lady on my bus several months ago. She was, I would say, you'd probably call her an attractive young lady. She wasn't necessarily beautiful, but she got off the bus, and she was tattooed across her whole face. Why would you do that to your face? Why would you do something like that? She put her on her shoulder and up her neck, her whole neck and her face was all a tattoo. This I don't know what it was just a bunch of color. I don't understand people like that, why they would do that. Or we had a girl come in, she worked in our office. And she came in when she first started working, she had long dark hair, and it was very attractive, long hair. I mean, I really appreciated the long dark hair. And she was, you know, an okay looking young lady and seemed friendly and nice. And she worked about a week. And then I came in one day and that wasn't the person that I saw in the window giving me my paperwork. The hair was blonde. It was all pulled over to one side, and this side of the head was shaved bald. I didn't know it was the same person. And there was a big, looked like somebody had punched her in the face. She had a big, nasty thing on her face, on her lip. Well, it turned out she had her lip pierced. And there was a thing hanging out of her lip. We went to eat at a restaurant one time. This was probably a few years ago. And this waitress, I didn't know if they had hired some mentally handicapped people or what the deal was. She just seemed different. And as she talked, finally we said something, she laughed, and her mouth kind of opened a little, and she had a thing stuck through her tongue. And she couldn't talk properly. And I thought, why do people do that? Because they don't know the truth. They don't have understanding. Through faith, we understand. In this case, it talks about the creation. But we have understanding. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. He was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Faith gives the proper offering here. Are we to give an offering? We're to give an offering of the sacrifice of our praise. We find that in Hebrews 13:5. 1 Peter 2:5 talks about spiritual sacrifices that we give unto the Lord. We give proper sacrifices by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And what was his testimony? Before his translation, he had this testimony: he pleased God. By faith, we please God. What's the opposite of that? If we don't exercise faith, do we please God? That is not pleasing to God. Do you know we can displease God by not exercising faith? Some big catastrophe happens and we start wondering how we're going to deal with it. We're not exercising our faith. We aren't pleasing God. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So by faith we please God. And we cannot please him. We do not please him when we don't exercise faith. So we start out with faith, we're justified. We live by faith. When we are born again, we start a life of faith. And we live by faith. We trust God. Does that sound complicated? It really isn't. But we do complicate it. Everyday life, we live and we complicate things by not exercising our faith. Verse 7 and continuing through the chapter, we see these folks all died in faith, not having the promise. All they accomplished was through faith. One of my heroes is Noah. I always love to think about Noah and his building the ark. By faith, he trusted God. You know, if we live properly by faith, what could God do through us? It's not us, we're just the vessel. What could God do? Well, God is able to do anything. He's just looking for a willing vessel of faith. I would love to see all of us here as those vessels, yielding ourselves to God through faith and letting him do what he would do. It would be wonderful if he could start right here in our church a revival that would burn through the walls of this church to Greeley, to the surrounding area, to Colorado, and even have an effect in the world. I don't know if you've ever read of some of the great revivals, but the stories are amazing. The story starts out a janitor that comes in and cleans the church. And as he would clean the church, he would kneel down at the altar and he would pray, "Oh God, thank you for your mercy to me, a sinner." And he would just open his heart before God, and God began to use him, and it began to affect others in the church. And that started a huge revival. You read some of these great revivals, how they started. It was with one or two people being serious with God and trusting him with everything they had. Why is it we accept a beginning by faith and then we feel we're finished? We're only beginning, born again, to live a life that is based upon faith. Look at Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Paul had a little difficulty with Galatians. You remember Galatians was what? What was being contrasted here in Galatians? We're supposed to know this since it was taught in Sunday school. You remember what's contrasted here in this book? Who said that? Where are you at? There he is, way back to Paul. Yes. Works or law and grace. is being contrasted in this book. Look at verse or chapter 3, what Paul has to say here. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Paul is taking to task these believers who began by faith, but they fell into living their lives by works. They were misled by Judaizers and by others that said, well, you have to keep the law. That's not true. We live by faith, not by works. Now, it's important that those who believe do good works. We know that from Ephesians 2:10. We do good works, but we don't do them as a matter of this is how I'm maintaining my life. We do them because we have faith in Christ, and He encouraged us to do those things. There are those who are convinced enough to put their faith in Christ to avoid eternal damnation. And I say this with a heavy heart, because after having taught in a Christian day school for 24 years, you saw many, many young people in the school put there by their Christian parents for one reason or another, and they really didn't have faith. Now, I know young people often live on the faith of their parents until they can grow old enough to understand things and exercise their own faith. But so many young people, and we see all these years later now, so many of them have gone out, and we've kept in touch with some of them. They made shipwreck of their lives. I can remember standing in a classroom, pouring my heart out to them, even teaching math or science or history. You taught it from a Christian perspective, and yet somehow they didn't get it. Somehow they didn't seem to understand. They weren't exercising faith. They had their ticket, so to speak. They had said some words. And it's interesting, because often young people, especially elementary age children, get to be teenagers and they have a crisis of faith. They realize, well, maybe I didn't understand what I was doing. Maybe I don't have faith. They'll hear a message and they're not sure. It's so important that we live a life based on faith, trusting, having confidence in God, and walking in that belief. Not being one that just has their ticket to miss hell, make heaven. And there is some speculation whether people like that have really trusted Christ. They live unto themselves, they're defeated, they're discouraged, they're of no use to the Lord. They are not living. They're just walking dead. Let's turn one last time to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Should have had you keep your finger there since we were there. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews has this to say. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Are you a justified one? Then you live by faith. You don't let sin beset you. You walk by faith. You live in the Spirit by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us basically that same thing. We walk not by the flesh, but by faith. We have a faith walk. Now, this is nothing new to you. This is not anything but a reminder. That was Peter's ministry. He said, I put you in remembrance. And that's what I'm doing tonight, or hopefully I'm doing, encouraging you to live by faith. Trust God. He is willing and able. God has given us his word with exceeding precious promises to sustain our faith walk. Philippians 4:13, can someone quote that? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If I'm living by faith, there's nothing I can't do that God gives me to do. What about Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many have been worried about God supplying your needs lately? We live by faith. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes when you aren't working. Brother Jerry's been having times when he hasn't gotten the work he needs. That calls for special trust. Several of us have got things that crop up. Oh man, how am I going to pay for that? We live by faith. As long as we're seeking to be in the will of God, we can trust God is going to supply our needs. He's not going to let the righteous beg bread. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I've used that this week several times as cares have come up. Casting all your care upon him. That's living by faith. And like I said, I have a very simplistic faith. I'm a little child in faith. I just take something that's a burden and throw it up there. He's bigger than I am. He can handle it. And it's so comforting. I throw it up there and I say, you got it. Now, I try not to be irreverent. I'm just being a little silly and facetious now. But I give it to him. He's got it. He can handle it. I can't. And I leave it there. Don't grab it back. He doesn't want you taking it back. Just throw it up there and say, Lord, it'll work. You know what I found over? There is one advantage to having gray hair. It means you've been around a little while. And you've learned that this big catastrophe happens and it seems insurmountable. But if you're just patient, you just trust God, pretty soon things begin to work out, and then you get out on the other side of it. It's done, it's over, it's taken care of. It's not going to consume you. There hath no temptation taken you, no testing taken you, but such as is common to man. And God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Living by faith. Hebrews 13:5-6, we're right here. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Living by faith. Romans 8. Who can quote 8:28? Several of us probably can. Romans 8:28. But, what is it? And we know. I'm sorry, I started with but. Contrast instead of an and. We know all things work together for them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Are you a justified person? You're the called according to his purpose. But slip down now from verse 28 to verse 38. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're walking by faith, nothing, nothing can separate you from that love of God. We have a loving Father who loves us with an eternal, unchanging love. He will not love you any more tomorrow than he loves you today or that he loved you yesterday. He will always love you the same. He wants to help you grow. He wants you to be successful. He wants to supply your needs. He asks you to live by faith. The just shall live by faith.